Welcome to Sustain This, a podcast where we discuss mindful consumption, personal style, and the quest for living a more intentional life. I'm Alyssa, a sustainable stylist.
And I'm Christina, a shopaholic turned minimalist-ish.
And I'm Sina, a color consultant and slow fashion style coach.
Together, we will unpack the nuances of what it really means to be a conscious consumer and find more joy in what we have right now. So grab your tea, your coffee, or whatever floats your boat and join us in the conversation. Let's go.
Yay.
So hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast. We are now back in Canada, but Alyssa is visiting Toronto. Yes. So I said, you know what, come over, let's do the podcast IRL, as IRL, as close to IRL as we can. Sina is still in Denmark, so she's joining us from there, but yeah, enjoy. It's kind of fun to have this little like hybrid situation, although it was the best when we were together fully. Oh my gosh. We're missing Arthur.
Yeah, no. It feels so far away already. We're going to talk about shopping rules today.
Things we look for before we buy.
Yes. This is a good one.
Yes. Because.
Yeah, I mean, if we did a, was it on your channel, Christina? We did a vlog. Kind of like shopping for our three words. Yes, so right. I guess if people want to like see how we shop for our like style keywords, they can definitely go check out that video and see us like in action, handpicking things that fits our style keywords. Mm-hmm. But I think today's going to be more like general things.
Yeah.
Like general things we look for in general rules, right? That we abide by. Yeah.
Like even I think,
who wants to go ahead. No, go ahead. No, sorry. I just wanted to say, who wants to start?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, I often get questions about going through your thought process when you see a piece, like, what is it that's going through your mind? Mm-hmm. And I think we've spoken about this before. For me, like, I know I always, for me, it's, and you've spoken about this before too, it's always like the style first. Like, yes. It's like, you have to love the piece. To me, it's almost like, oh God, look, I'm paralleling everything with dating, but like, it's like, there has to be that like first physical attraction. Like there has to be that draw. There has to be something that draws you in first. Cause ultimately if you have a piece that maybe it checks off all of your values boxes, which is also really important, but it's not something that you're going to wear often and use and love and wear with care, then it's all equally not, you know, not really a slow fashion minded purchase that way. So for me, that's kind of the first thing.
So the physical, you're just the visual, love at first sight kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Sina?
I feel like the first thing that always comes to mind is like, I've been going by this secondhand first shopping rule for so many years, but I feel like it's kind of something that I think is even more important is the fit. Mm. Like if the fit is not fitting,
it's not going to be something you're going to use.
Whether that being like shoes or especially shoes, I think. But like if it doesn't fit, I feel like that is one of the most common reasons why we are not wearing our clothes. Yeah. It's like just a terrible fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether it being too big or too tight. Like it's so important. So I think for me, like love it in, I shop so much online. I rarely shop in physical stores, but I would love to practice a like love it in the dressing room kind of thing a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
Because I've bought a lot of stuff, you know, with good intentions secondhand, and then it's just not the right fit. And it's like, okay, well, what's the point?
Can I ask you a question, Sina? Do you find when you mentioned those purchases that you bought secondhand and you didn't love them as much, do you feel like you were drawn to them because they were secondhand and you're like, well, it's secondhand, I'll make it work, da da da? Because I think that's something a lot of us fall into.
Especially in the beginning, I think, when I was very like, I need to be as sustainable as possible. Obviously, that's super important, I think, for all of us still. But it's like, I'm not going to buy anything secondhand just because it's secondhand. Like I would almost rather buy something that was like conventionally produced in good quality if I know it's the right fit than just going for like a random piece secondhand.
Yeah.
Just because it was secondhand, you know? I don't want to compromise as much as I did in the beginning. I feel like I've made a lot of like bad decisions with my wardrobe and bought a lot of things that I ended up not wearing or loving in the quest for being like the perfect secondhand shopper.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. What do you look for in fit? Or is it?
Good question.
Does it depend on kind of, I guess it must be. It must be kind of like what, depending on what you're looking for. But is there in general, what makes it more of a yes than a no when you're looking for that?
I think it's a feeling, right? We've talked a lot about like the feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the idea of, you know, when you're trying something on, like closing your eyes and does it feel like it sits right on my butt? Like, does it feel like I can live my life freely even though I'm wearing this piece, or does it feel stuffy or annoying?
So true. Oh my God, I just decluttered something because it was like a sensory nightmare type of piece. I'm just like, I can't wear it. Not that it was like a little bit itchy, but a little bit scratchy and kind of like just not when I'm wearing it. I'm just, first of all, also sweaty because it was like a mostly synthetic piece, but it was just scratchy, itchy. And I can't do it. I'm just like, I feel like this in my body.
No,
and I'm like,
okay, that's so good.
Yeah, so, that sensory feeling, I think that's a really good point. Yeah, like sensory overload, I can't.
Yeah. And I mean, that happens too. Yeah. Like anything itchy, that's the sensory overload. But this was almost, you know, there's like a cotton or a silky feeling that feels good on the skin. And then there's this itchy, scratchy, almost papery kind of vibe. And I'm just like, I can't do it.
That's so true.
So I guess that would bring me into fit. Fit is very important, but how does it feel on your body? How does it feel on your skin? So is it, and I mean, that would also segue into kind of like, what is it made out of? Is it a synthetic that I'm going to like sweat in, or is it something that feels breathable, that do I have to dry clean it? Like, what are all, you know, these, it kind of all snowballs into that, but I think for me, a lot of people think that, because I feel like I'm like the pragmatic girly kind of thing, you know, and so in terms of like, oh, does it fit into the budget? Does it, can I pay for it in full right now? These are all extremely important questions to ask. Yeah. If you need to like after pay a sweater, then I think we need to rethink if this sweater is, if you should be buying this right now kind of thing. So I always think about like, do I have the money? Can I pay for it in full? The financial aspect of shopping is obviously something that's really, really important, but I find that's not always, that's not the first thing I think about. It really isn't. So I agree with you. It's very, ooh, I like that.
Right.
And then what draws me to this? And then, you know, and then you sort of come down the hierarchy of let's think about cost. Let's think about fit. Yeah. Let's think about fabric, that type of thing. Because I think like the way I talk with my content and like that type of thing, I feel like people think that price is the first driver for me, but it really, it's kind of like lower down the list, I would say.
Okay. When it comes to fit, sorry, I was just thinking about this. When it comes to fit, do either of you sort of have specific garments in your closet that you know you want to fit a certain way? Like, I wonder if that would help people. Like, you like an oversized blazer.
Did you see that?
Yeah, there was just fireworks.
What happened?
I don't know. Really liked what you were saying. I think it was, I don't know what happened.
Amazing.
It's AI. I don't know.
It's like, good point.
Yeah.
You're on to something. You're on to something. Keep going.
Oh my God.
But yeah, like, I wonder if that is a good guidepost too. You know, if you have a certain, you know, and when you're working with your body or whatever, and how you want things to fit, like, can you kind of categorize as you're shopping? This is how I like my blazers to fit. Like, it is, I don't know. It's not, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself and be like, I only wear X.
Oversized blazers or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like I've definitely moved from wanting to only wear oversized t-shirts to now actually being open to the idea of wearing tighter fitting t-shirts. So I guess it also depends on like how you're evolving your style.
Yeah.
Right? But then at the same time, knowing what you like and being okay with that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, for me, I agree with that. I feel like I definitely gravitate towards certain fits. Like if it's, for me, comfort is always really, really important. So I don't, but then the best, hottest fitting pairs of jeans are probably going to be a little bit uncomfortable. They're going to be a little bit tight and a little bit like, if you want to go for like a classic bum good fit, you know?
Totally. I was like, here's the peach AI.
Yeah.
Come on.
So there, you know, there is that. So I really think it depends what you're going for. But I think in general, in my day-to-day wear and like how I want to feel and like move through the world, there has to be some level of comfort and wearability to it. So yes, I love an oversized blazer, but if it was like a David Byrne talking heads huge or like a, what are those suits? A zoot suit kind of like vibe, you know? Then I'm gonna, then I'll, it's like too much, right? So I do think, and I agree with you too, because it's kind of like, what are you looking for, right? So if I want to, because if I reach for something that's all like the same silhouette, shape, and feel, then it's going to start to feel pretty one note in the closet. So I do like the idea of seen as you want the, maybe you were going for like an oversized t-shirt, now you want something tighter fitting.
Just so you have the elements to play with the oversized, the because like I totally agree with you. Otherwise, everything will be oversized. Yeah. And it's like, how are you going to play with
to proportions? Balance it out.
I mean, obviously, if that's what you like, then. But I find that it gives more dynamic in an outfit if you like balance out skinny and oversized.
And I guess that's also something to take into account too. Then before you purchase, it's like, okay, you look at the fit in terms of how you want it to fit on your body and how you want to move through it. But also that's kind of a good maybe little tester is like, okay, if this is, say, oversized, do I want tension or do I want like a full, and then think of the other garments in your closet that like, how would I play with this in terms of proportion? So you know, you have a vision for it already.
Yes, I think so.
So that you know what kind of gap is that going to fulfill for you? Do you, because like there's no point in buying another oversized gray t-shirt if you already have one.
Yeah.
If it's really, if it's a tighter fitting one you're missing, then that's what you should be looking for.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
How rigid are you guys with like keeping a list and like following the list?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I love the wish list. It really keeps it focused. Yes. Yeah.
100%.
I mean, I'm such an advocate for the wish list in terms of just like minimizing your impulse buying and just, you know,
staying focused.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Just because there's so many things that I have put on there that I completely forgot about until I go back to the wish list and realize I'm like, oh yeah, you know, did I want that?
Yeah.
No, there's that kind of funny. Do you ever feel like if when you put something on the wish list and then you forget about it, but then you come back to it to put something else on it, and then you're like, oh, do I want that again?
Yeah, 100%.
Does it re-spark me? A lot of times I end up taking it off, but
It's
just that funny little,
I was just
like,
about to say that I think that's why it's so good to keep a wish list, because it, just the act of putting it on there can almost feel like you're actually purchasing it even though you're not.
Yes, 100%.
And then if you forget about it, it's like, okay, well, maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like we've spoken about this before, like the pause, right? Mm-hmm. It gives you that moment of pause.
Yeah.
Which is so helpful. You're giving yourself breathing space. You're making sure that whatever is going to come in is going to align with what you already have and whatever. So,
yeah. And I think the wish list is always going to be dynamic, right? Yes. It's never going to be like, okay, when I get these 10 pieces, I'm done.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the fallacy of the wish list. I would totally. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, you can kind of get that feeling, I think, at a certain point in your life, probably. Mm-hmm. Like if you go through a major life change, it's like, okay, I need these things. I get them. And then that's good. But life is going to be changing and evolving forever. Yes. So I actually have another one.
Ooh, tell us.
Maybe it's a little bit obvious, but I do want to find things in like my color palette.
I'm not
following it religiously. Like right before going on camera, I was actually telling Christina that I'm a little bit over how religious people sometimes get with color analysis.
Yeah. Okay,
like I love
good.
It. But it's like, can we just please
loosen up. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. but I'm definitely one of those people who are like, I just love my color palette. And I'm so, you know, I love the colors and I want to wear them. So to me, I definitely find myself searching for, you know, clothes in my colors.
Yeah.
Like in my color palette.
I think whatever helps you narrow things down and just sort of filter out the noise and just really kind of keep things focused. I think that whatever you find is most helpful, then I think that is a really great way just to, like, then you're not going to waste money. You're not going to waste time. It's just more considered. And that way you're making more thoughtful, slower, mindful purchases, because there's criteria that this thing needs to meet before you let it in.
Mm.
So
And I think especially when you're shopping secondhand and like if it's a large consignment store or something, it just helps, you know, narrowing things down and stay focused on what you are actually looking for. So
I think
I definitely benefit from that, I would say.
Well, I mean, even let's talk about it. So in the video of shopping for our three words, you found this secondhand fantastic blue striped Tommy Hilfiger shirt. We'll throw up a picture of it on the screen. And I think you just posted today that this is one of your top purchases of the year. It's like something that you're wearing over and over again. So maybe let's think about it. Like, what drew you when you're sifting through things? Because when you are secondhand shopping, and we did do a whole video on our best secondhand shopping tips in a previous episode this season. So we'll leave that in the show notes and in the cards on YouTube if you're watching. So if you're walking into a thrift store and maybe you have something in mind, you have something on the wish list to kind of hone in on it. When you zeroed in on that piece, what was the thought process of this is hitting everything that I want for me to be able to actually purchase?
I mean, 100% the color, because it's like light blue is one of my absolute favorite colors. And I remember that there were like multiple striped shirts in a little segment of that entire rack. It was a whole rack with men's shirts, and there were denim shirts, and then the rest of them were different colors and they were striped. And then I saw the blue stripe and I went to that. Like, I love a stripe too. Yeah. A stripe will always be something I feel drawn to, whether it be vertical or horizontal. But I think definitely the blue helped me kind of see that piece among all of the rest of the shirts there.
And then, so that made you grab it off of the shelf.
So
then once you tried it on, when were you like, oh, hell yes, you know, versus, I don't know, I think I might put this one away.
I don't know. Like, it was multiple things. It was the color that I liked, but it was also the fit. Like, it's a really nice, longer, slouchy kind of fit, but at the same time, it has that structure and sharpness of a good classic men's shirt.
I wish I found that shirt.
100%. So good.
I do love
it. Such a good shirt.
Yeah. Because it feels, if it was tight-fitting, it would feel stuffy, but the fit is just perfect. Like, the fit is spot on. So again, just to get back to the fit of something being so important, it's just the perfect fit.
And then, I mean, so we did a whole video on how to shop for your three words. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that is for all of us, a criteria that we look for before we let in. So maybe we can remind everybody, you know, based on that shirt that we had on the screen, the Tommy Hilfiger shirt, what are your three words?
I've actually been playing around a little bit with my
Me too.
It's not changing. It's not changing. It's just like choosing more how do you say, like, precise words?
Okay. Yeah.
I think in the aesthetical sense, my style is still casual, classic, edgy, but that's like the aesthetic, you know, classic is what I look for, classic shirt, like, you know, that element. But in like the more Alison Bornstein inspired, you know, aura kind of way that we've also talked about, I actually feel like soft, minimal, and cool are three better words. You know, they're kind of in line with that
drop.
Yes.
So fun.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
Because it just struck me that to me, it's very important that my outfits are minimal and simple.
Yes.
So I felt like that had to be a bigger part of my three words. Plus, I feel like soft, we talked about that in one of the episodes where we like described each of our styles. I think that was inspired by the conversation I had with you guys, the soft color palette and just the softness of how things fit and feel.
Totally agree. Yes. 100%.
And cool in the sense of, you know, just a little bit of a little twist of something edgy. But yeah, just to get back to your question, Christina, I think it's the minimal, like, classic feel that kind of drew me in with that shirt.
I agree. That's really good.
But then still the soft colors and, like, the slouch. Yeah. Like, it kind of all connects, I think.
Yeah. So I would totally agree that, like, I think once you can kind of hone in on your three words. And I think if you don't know your three words, you can also just look towards the wardrobe you already have. Because I think when we do shop and when we look to buy something new, I don't know about you, but the pieces that I choose are not really drastically different from each other. Totally. There's definitely like a theme. If you open up my wardrobe, you can see my three words, which I've also been playing with.
Tell us.
Because yeah, I actually had a closet session with Alison Bornstein.
Yes.
Oh, so that's going to be on my YouTube channel too.
I'm excited to hear about that.
So excited. Oh my God. It was so, she's.
Was it far from like your own?
No. So we just kind of modified it a little bit. So before I was kind of doing I was doing three words plus a modifier. So I think my three words were classic, minimal, and sporty. And then I had a modifier of edgy. Mm-hmm. Which I still agree. So we kind of just, as you did too, sort of like just tighten it up a little bit. Yeah. So yeah, we decided that my three words would be sporty, minimal, and sharp.
Sharp is good.
Cool. Yeah.
Very good.
Sharp is very good. So I feel like sharp really sort of embraces the edge, but I'm not always edgy in like a biker kind of sense or like a rock and roll kind of sense.
It can be like
exactly,
the structure of
right? It's the shoulder pads, my hair that I wear. So I was just, wow. It really just sort of brought it together. So I thought that was great. But if you look at my whole wardrobe, it kind of really is like that. And then, and when I am shopping, like if I was going to go for like a poofy feminine, you know, peasant collar type of, it doesn't really fit. And it really sticks out. It would really stick out in my wardrobe if you were to open it up and be like, oh, what is that? Or if it's like a super pattern, super floral or something like that. So I think for most of us, unless you're experimenting, but if you feel like you really have a solid sense of your style, you kind of tend to build off of that when you shop, and it kind of still, it all usually fits in. I feel like it's really not common, at least for me, to just get this piece that's way out of left field. And that sort of helps me filter it down, right? You just gravitate towards what you like naturally.
So I love that.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah. What are your three words?
Well, classic, minimal, and undone. And then we talked about
the modifier
of drama.
Which I still...
I agree.
I love.
I agree. I think I'm happy with those, I think. Mm-hmm. Although I'm injecting more drama. Sometimes it goes between... No, it always includes the classic piece. So I think that was really well added. Thank you.
Style words, definitely part of our shopping rules too.
Big time.
I kind of want to ask about, because there are things that can sway your purchase decision to perhaps like induce an impulse buy, and I think we should talk about those too, just so that we're aware. And at least a while ago, I found, I don't know if you both get like this, especially with secondhand shopping, I have been inclined to make a purchase if I know someone else is eyeing that piece.
Oh, like, the competition. You're like, get out of my way.
No, like, honestly, competitive consumption is a thing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
For at least for me, especially in vintage and secondhand.
I love that you named that. That's a good... Yeah.
Yeah, so it's actually like an economic term.
Oh, really?
Like competitive consumption. Anyway, so yeah, I definitely didn't come up with that. But And I realized it, and I haven't as much anymore, but that's definitely something that I'm aware of when I'm secondhand and vintage and thrift. Like if I see someone else, like, you know, when someone's waiting for you, like as you're trying on and they're like waiting for you in the aisle, like... they're like with their card, they keep going back and forth. You're like, okay, I know what's happening here. And I have made a purchase because I knew someone else was eyeing it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's something that I'm also aware of. If I'm like really feeling a pull toward a piece, I ask myself, like, wait a minute, am I just into this because someone else is? So that's not necessarily something that I look for when I shop, but it's definitely something you've
caught.
Aware,
right?
That awareness is important, I think.
I agree.
Yeah,
definitely. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a bit of a different point of view, but I'm sure someone can relate to that.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of our listeners can relate to that.
I mean, that kind of happened with me. Remember we were in that when you were trying on like the
shoes?
Yeah, the leopard print shoes.
Yes.
So we were in a vintage shop in Copenhagen, and I was trying on this.
You're trying the gray coat?
Yeah, so that's in Sina's vlog. So on Sina's channel, I Use Less, she has a vlog of us all shopping in Copenhagen, and there was this fantastic herringbone coat made in Stockholm. It was amazing.
So good.
And I was trying it on, and then as soon as I you know, I was kind of waffling about it, and there was a girl ready.
You're like, I'm not going to buy it.
And then she's like, oh, please, I'll take it. I'm like,
She was ready.
She's waiting for the verdict.
But did that make you feel good, though? Like, that made me feel good. Yeah. Like, okay, it's going to like it.
Yeah, and it because I had no way of bringing it back. I packed carry-on only, so I really love this, but I can't layer, like, 20 coats on the plane. Yeah. It's just not going to be. And I'm not going to ship this. You know, I'm not willing to do that. So it was kind of nice to be like, you've made the decision for me. Here, take it. So that was good. But I agree with you because you can definitely get competitive. I mean, I think thrifting in itself kind of sparks a sense of competition, in the sense of like, you are on this hunt for the deal, or like, what if I find this, you know, one of a kind designer find. So there's definitely some sort of that competitive motivation in there.
Yeah. You know, that exclusivity, the one of a kind.
Yeah. Hunt the art of the deal or whatever.
100%,
right?
Yeah.
We talked briefly about compromises. I said that I used to compromise a lot more when I did, especially secondhand shopping in the past. I still do compromise sometimes a little bit. But how far are you guys willing to stretch? Because, for example, I had functionality is really important for me. That's probably one of my other shopping rules. It's more now than ever, I think, because I'm a mom and I have a dog and I live life outdoors and I need to ride my bike and stuff. So it has to have a level of functionality to it, the clothing that I'm buying. So I had in my mind, it was like very specific, a green quilted kind of jacket, you know, that I could wear, not as a raincoat, but more of like a practical piece. So I ended up going to like a consignment store and I found a quilted jacket, but it wasn't green. It was brown. It was also longer than what I first had in mind. But it was like, hey, this is actually kind of cool. So I ended up picking up that jacket because I needed like a functional kind of transitional practical.
Ooh, I want to see the jacket. When's the reveal happening?
I have it here.
Okay, let's do it.
But it was just like a little stretch, a little bit of a compromise. It wasn't necessarily exactly what I had in mind because I don't know if I saw a picture on Pinterest or what it was that made me so focused on that specific style of the jacket.
I think that really speaks to the practicality and the time that you have for it in search for a certain piece. So I think that's really cool because you said you used to shop online a lot, and then you actually went to a physical store and you found pretty much exactly what you were looking for, but there were some of those compromises, but it was good enough. And it was maybe you even liked it more than what you had in mind. But I think what I'm kind of getting at here is, how much longer do I want to be searching for this thing that I need, that needs to fill this gap, that is going to fill this need? So there, you know, I love the saying of like, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no. But at the same time, I don't want to be searching forever.
For the quote unquote perfect piece, which.
Yeah.
Is that even possible? I'm just going to go get the
jacket. So I think it fits like enough of a criteria to be able to say yes. And I think that
it's a little bit wet.
I love it.
I love.
But you know, it's kind of like those.
It's like a car coat.
It reminds me of those like British, you know, outdoorsy kind of jacket. I think it's actually from Another Story. So I feel like it's okay quality.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of design went into it, so it's not just a functional outdoorsy kind of. It's kind of the best of both worlds.
Okay, I was picturing like a military liner jacket. No, this is good.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
It's
I think it's a good and it's a nice color too. Like it definitely the chocolate brown color. What was I was drawn to that because it's not black, but it's
no agree.
Yeah, I really
very like
it.
Cool.
No, it's so good.
I feel like that was a good find. I compromised, but it was a good find.
Yeah, and I think that kind of also goes to show that you might have something in mind, but even if, let's say, you had the opportunity to try exactly what you had in mind, and you're just like, what is this? It's not really what I wanted. So you kind of just adapt and find something that just feels, that aligns more, just aligns better. Yeah. And at the end of the day, with that, let's talk about it. It was color. It was fit. It was perhaps the construction. It was the material that you were looking for. And it fit a time constraint because you're like, it's spring. I need to get something for rain. Mm-hmm. I need to ride my bike. Like I need this kind of within this certain time period. Mm-hmm. And you found it.
Yeah, and so, it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was secondhand, which is like an added bonus to me at this point. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah.
So I think, because I find that too, I find for me personally, one of the things I'm trying to buy less of is kind of like the dupe for something. Mm. So dupes are like duplicate, basically the alternative to, let's say, something like a viral piece or like a name brand or something. I try to actually not buy a lot of dupes unless I think it's better. There are possible time constraints, things like that. But in general, I find whenever I compromised and searched for a dupe, I would still end up, I would be slightly unsatisfied with it.
100%.
And just end up buying the original thing in the end. So I would pay twice the money and have twice the clutter and twice the, like, oh now God, I got to think about how I'm going to get rid of this and what am I going to do with this piece now. Mm-hmm. And so that is kind of one of the criteria that I think about. Is it the thing
that I want?
Right? Is it the actual thing that I want? Mm-hmm. I don't want to like look for an alternative. But sometimes the actual thing that I want
isn't
the thing.
Totally. Totally.
Maybe the fit is off or it's like, I thought this would be a hell yes, but it's not. Mm-hmm. So, and that's when it comes down to things like fit, construction, comfort, and all those other criteria that we think about, right?
Well, yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Yes.
I love that code. Oh my God.
It's so good.
Thank you.
So good.
It's like my chic mommy coat. I feel like I'm trying to join the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I love it.
Which is
I love it.
Yeah.
What about, I think we touched on it briefly, but what about material and construction and that kind of thing? Quality.
I find that's
always important.
Mm-hmm. But I think, and yeah, we have talked about this before, or maybe we haven't gotten like so into it, but I also think the quality in when you're looking at fabrics, it's also really important to look at the context of the piece and how you plan on wearing it. Because if you, it has to be the right fabric for the function of the piece,
purpose.
You know, for the right purpose. We have spoken about this in the past, but I do think that's why, like, if you're like, oh, I don't ever buy synthetic. Like, if I had that rule, I wouldn't have some of the most hardworking pieces in my closet.
100%. Yeah.
So I think maybe similar to your point about compromise, some open-mindedness is important. And the nuance and the looking at the whole piece in the context of how you want to use it will be, will get you to a better purchase in the end.
Yeah, I agree.
Christina, I'm intrigued to hear because I know one of your goals for this year was to shop more in physical stores.
Yeah.
How's that go? Like, do you think it will become part of your shopping rules in the future? Or
I think so. Slowly but surely. There's some things that I bought this year that I just like couldn't get in a physical store. So that was more of an online thing. But a couple of weeks ago, I went thrifting in the West End of Toronto and I found some really, really cool like biker kind of style boots. I want to pick up a new t-shirt. But the thing is that I found I'm not very good at like making time to go do it. So I wanted to replace one of my t-shirts from COS that is now too small, but it's like my top t-shirt of all time. And I know there is one kind of close to where I live, but I just haven't made the time to go do that. It's kind of like on my mind be like, oh, maybe I'll stop there on the way to the gym. And then I just never do it. So it's more, it's still for me a matter of making time to be like, I'm looking for this piece and I'm going to go out and do it and take that leisure activity. So my tendency again is like still to sort of shop online and browse and kill time that way. And it's a new habit for me to build. I'm not scrolling on my phone to like look for something to want. I am going to go out and get fresh air and get my steps and like go feel the fabric and go try things on and create that that time. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
So I think it just because I don't know, in my personality and my like workflow, I don't really make that time because I always feel like I don't have time because I'm always just like, oh, I got to film. I got to go to work. I got to go do this. I got like, there's always like a bigger priority, but it's been nice to be like, okay, you know, my partner, Jeff and I be like, we're going to go thrifting today. And that's our Saturday day. And this is our day off activity kind of thing.
And it's nice. Like when we did it in Copenhagen, you get your, like you say, you get your steps and you get some fresh air and you get some coffee and it's like, it's so nice to do that. Yeah. I think when you put it like that, it sounds like a balanced approach.
And I think it makes
which I think we could all get inspired.
Yeah, and I think it just so I need to be better at doing that and like creating the time. And that also kind of just makes me think of how much shopping are we doing that is so mindless and like as a coping mechanism either to combat boredom or anxiety or comparison. Or just not being able to, like, it's just like a self-soothing thing as opposed to something that can actually be like a really fun and even nourishing activity. Yeah. It's something that's very social.
You're right.
It's like a way to be in your community. And, you know, it's kind of reminding me of that goal that I had for this year. So I haven't been great at implementing it as much as I would like to, but at the same time it kind of makes me think, how much shopping do I really need to be doing? Right? And so when I do choose to do that, it makes it more special, I think.
More
considered. So
more of an intentional practice.
Well, you're in town. Have you've been doing some thrifting? How's that?
No, I haven't.
You haven't yet?
Done any.
Oh no.
No, it's been slammed. So I don't know. Maybe this afternoon I have a window of time where nothing is booked.
Go to Dundas West.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Black Diamond Vintage, VSP consignment.
Oh, VSP, yes. Okay.
There's a whole drag.
Okay,
there.
Great.
There's a bunch.
Okay, so. Awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, we should do a city thrifting guide.
Yes, for Toronto.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh my God, you'd be so good.
Good. Anything else? And then I guess price is like the last part, right? So we still think about that. So for me, actually, I want to touch on it because let's say we are like a lot of us are focusing on doing more secondhand shopping, but that's also when it's you almost buy it because of the deal rather than it filling other criteria that you want it to meet. So price can be a barrier in terms of like expense, how high the cost is. But I think you still want to have a bit of a filter in terms of buying it just because it's so cheap too. So I think there's that
definitely
that balance to strike too.
Yeah, I agree.
Good.
I think those were some good points.
Okay, that was good. Oh my God, you're on my couch.
I know. This is so cool. So fun. We should do them all here.
I know, right? Oh my God. Well, maybe you don't move to Italy and you move to Toronto instead.
Right. Okay. Perfect. Got it.
Yeah. Change of plans. Hey.
So let us know what you think about when you are shopping. What are the criteria that you feel that your pieces need to meet before you pull the trigger and purchase? Leave us a comment on YouTube below. If you're listening on Apple, Spotify, don't forget to rate, to share. It really helps us out. And you know, the more you do that, maybe we can have Sina come to Toronto.
Oh, be there one day.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. So thank you for watching, listening, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. Ciao.
Thank you so much for joining in our conversation this week. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple and leave us a rating and review. It's one of the best ways to support the Sustain This podcast at zero cost to you.
We're also a community-led podcast, so if you have any questions for us, topic requests, or even guests you want to hear from, please send us a DM on Instagram at sustainthis_podcast. We read all of our comments and look forward to hearing from you.
We hope you join us again next Tuesday, where we'll talk about so much more than clothes. Ciao!